As AI continues to revolutionize our world, there's a critical conversation we can't ignore: AI safety and security. And that's where HackerOne's AI red teaming comes into play, rigorously testing AI models to prevent them from being misled or exploited. HackerOne employs over 2 million ethical hackers, and 750 of them specialize in prompt hacking and other AI security and testing. So HackerOne isn't just theorizing, they're actively safeguarding AI's future. Just recently, a team unearthed over 100 vulnerabilities in just 2 weeks. So whether you're at the helm of a startup or steering product innovation at a large company, it's time to prioritize AI security. Visit HackerOne.com/AI for more. Again, HackerOne.com/AI.
This episode is sponsored by porkbun.com. Porkbun is a refreshingly different domain name registrar that's different from the other ones like GoDaddy or Namecheap. They've got low prices on hundreds of different domain extensions. They've got everything from .com domains to really cool ones like .pro, .dev, .xyz. Every domain name at Porkbun comes with tons of freebies too, like SSL certificate, whois privacy, DNS, URL forwarding, and hosting trials. Because why pay for things that should be free, right? All these incredible features and tools are backed by incredible support, 365 days a year, and more 5-star reviews on Trustpilot from real customers than anyone else. Look, you can get $1 off your next domain name from Porkbun and see why they're the best domain name registrar around by using our code. Just go to porkbun.com/rocketshipfm24. That's porkbun, porkbun.com/rocketshipfm24. You'll save $1 on your next domain. This episode is brought to you by Gigantic. At Gigantic, you can level up your product skills through live, small group, cohort-based trainings. We're incredibly excited to welcome you to our next cohort of our product strategy training, kicking off in January of 2024. This course will take you through the frameworks that product leaders use at companies like eBay, DoorDash, Groupon, Rent the Runway, in order to scale their teams. It's taught by Ben Foster, a friend of this podcast, who is the former chief product officer at Whoop. So come join us. Go to gigantic.is. That's gigantic.is. And save your seat for our January cohort. Your potential is gigantic, and we're here to help you reach it. Go to gigantic.is to reserve your seat today.
Welcome to the Rocketship Podcast. This is Michael Sacco. So today on the podcast, I talked to Chris Shepard. He is the founder of HashRabbit. The night before, I met Chris and we were talking about Bitcoin, and I could tell how passionate he was for this. And the more I dug in, the more I realized he was really preparing for the 10-year plan of Bitcoin. That kind of futuristic vision for a market that is so young was really inspiring, so I had to have him on the podcast.
We'd like to take a moment to thank our awesome sponsors. CodeShip makes continuous delivery simple and easy. Go to codeship.com/rocketship to get 20% off 3 months.
We'd also like to thank Invision App. Invision is by far the best prototyping and collaboration tool on the market. Go to InvisionApp/rocketship to get the starter plan free for 90 days.
Customer.io is a modern email platform built for startups. Go to customer.io/rocketship to start sending emails that convert.
So what we're doing is we're building software, the software layer for Bitcoin miners. So essentially what that means is we're the Android and the actual hardware that actually is the thing that mines the Bitcoins.
Yeah.
We're the software layer that goes on that secures it and also allows more applications to be built on top of it as Bitcoin grows and scales.
So how did you find out about this problem, that people needed this software?
Yeah, so about 7 or 8 months ago, I was complaining to my co-founder, who was also my roommate, that my mining rate kept going down and that it was And it was all open source stuff that I was using, and he was like, this is the most garbage code I've ever seen. Like, this is not scalable, it's not modular, like, you know, data centers would not use this. So he was just kind of like, oh, I wish I could make something better for this. I know I can make something better than this. And at the time, it was just kind of like, okay, cool, but I don't have time for that. How do I fix this now? I'm losing money. Like, you're not going to build it fast enough. And so a few months like after that, I basically was trying to scale the operation. So even though I was having all this trouble, and so finally when I got like the hang of it, I was like, okay, I'm going to like host a bunch of these mining rigs. I'm just going to be able to like scale this out and everything. And then, you know, I realized that you can't automate this, like the software that's on it, like you can't build on top of it because it's garbage code. So my co-founder basically told me that, Gabe, he told me like, no, it's not going to happen. Like, and so essentially we just kind of scrapped everything else. I kind of figured out how we could make money off of this. And so I pitched it to him and I was like, you want in? And he's just like, yeah, let's do it. And so it's kind of like the March, I think, beginning of March is when we were like, okay, full time, both of us like stopped doing contract work and
just commit to it.
Yeah. Nice. I made a little bit of money off of Litecoin, when it went
up to 40.
Yeah.
Okay.
And cause I bought it at like $2 and stuff. So I made a little bit of money. So I told him to stop taking contract work and I'd pay him. I'd like make sure he's okay. And he was like, okay, that works.
So
what
was the payment?
What I did was I would just pay him in cash.
Okay.
So it was,
you can do whatever you want.
Yeah, I just sold the Litecoin and then I paid him in cash and you can do whatever you want with it. But
nice.
Yeah.
So, for those that aren't that familiar, these like the kind of like junk code that you're talking about,
mm-hmm.
where were you finding this? And did you guys replace that or did you build something to make that more stable?
So, the software it's called CG Miner.
Mm-hmm.
That software was made like a couple years ago, and because mining really started with your processor, you could mine with your processor, and then it went to graphics cards, and then it started going to FPGAs, and then ASICs, which are application specific integrated circuits. So
okay.
Specific chips. The only thing they do is mine Bitcoin, nothing else. So, I mean, that software was built over time and just kept getting tweaked by different developers and stuff like that. So there's just a lot of people were touching it throughout the years. And so it made it really hard for people to break away from that and to just build something better.
Okay.
And so the big issue what we saw was just that, you know, everybody was using a different Linux distro, everybody was using a different version of CG Miner. So if they were mining Bitcoin or they were mining Litecoin or mining Dogecoin, like they all had maybe not Dogecoin, but like, you know, there's other currencies.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're just getting tweaked this little bit. Some people are making like they're essentially just forking it, which is copying the code and then just changing a couple things and then resubmitting it and be like, hey, use mine instead. So there's a bunch of these guys just with all these different kinds of things. So it was just very non-standardized and it was just...
Yeah. So did you guys rewrite CG Miner then?
So because CG Miner has so much behind it, and every miner, every single mining rig runs a version of CG Miner now. So it's really hard to pull CG Miner out right now. So what we do, so CG Miner has an API that you can talk to, but the API was not meant for like web applications. It was not meant for being able to build tools with it. It was just meant to maybe pull a little bit of data and make a native app and stuff like that.
So like, is that like the reporting that you get back to?
Yeah, some of the logs.
Like, okay.
Being able to change the pools. Like if you wanted to make a GUI interface, like instead of just the terminal interface that you would normally see.
Yeah.
So, So CG Miner is pretty clunky. It's not usable. So my co-founder, being the, you know, the dude he is, he basically was just like, okay, I'm going to take this garbage code and no matter what it pushes out, I'm going to organize it. I'm going to make sure it's like it's clean and then we can interact with it with this API that I just made, like a REST API that's simple and every developer knows how to use.
Nice.
Because it doesn't have to be C, because CG Miner is made out of C and a whole bunch of other stuff. So So we kind of left CG Miner alone because there's so many different versions of it, and we just started building on top of it.
Yeah.
That was just one piece of it, and that's just, it's completely different when it comes to actually the operating system, which version of Linux you're using, some people are using Windows, some people are, so that became very inconsistent and stuff, and so people were using Raspberry Pis, like, with the ARM chips and stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, Raspberry Pis are not meant to scale, those are little toys, they're not meant to do those things, and so... ASIC manufacturers were starting to use them and, all this stuff, but I think they soon realized that that does not scale properly in a data center type setting, and so those guys are moving away from, Intel processors, and they're moving away from a lot of those things, and they're trying to make their own custom controller boards that can actually do all of this themselves.
Okay.
So
you guys need to be flexible enough in all of these situations...
Right.
To be able to manage whatever server that this person has installed.
Right. So yes. that was originally what we were like, we'll just adapt to it.
Okay.
But it didn't end up like that. So we built all these tools, and then when we started trying to integrate people into it, then that's when the real issues started coming, where it was just like, hey, I don't have... My firmware is not up to date, and they're still vulnerable to Heartbleed, and still vulnerable to all these security issues. And it's like every manufacturer is like this. They're all built differently, and they all there's no standard way of doing things. And so we would have to adapt to each individual mining company in order to put our software on it and stuff.
Okay.
And if they were just one version behind, or their firmware was one version behind, we can't help them. If they got hacked, they might blame us. So there's all these really risky things. And when you're in Bitcoin, you have one chance. If you screw it up and everybody hates you, good luck trying to make your reputation good again.
Yeah.
So I was like, yeah.
So you guys are part of the Boost VC. Incubator, right?
Yeah.
Or an accelerator.
It's like an accelerator
program.
Yeah,
yeah.
Sort of thing.
What kind of reception have they gotten to the actual business of Bitcoin?
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the concerns that are coming up? You guys are there with a bunch of Bitcoin companies.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the general concerns or not concerns that you guys have found around the business of Bitcoin?
Just to address the concern stuff is I would say there's people who believe in Bitcoin, and then there's people who don't believe in Bitcoin,
mm-hmm.
or are not convinced yet. And Boost VC, the reason why we went with them is because they funded the most Bitcoin startups. They know that it's going... I mean, Tim Draper has stated just recently, I think twice in the last week, that in 3 years, Bitcoin is being $10,000 each. And that's a really bold statement, but it's not the U.S. that's going to drive this. So, because everybody's been asking me about why $10,000? If viewers or listeners are curious, it's a lot of out-of-country stuff.
Okay.
But Boost VC, they get it, and it's a lot harder as a Bitcoin company to pitch an investor Bitcoin and try to convince them just on the concept of Bitcoin,
mm-hmm.
and then just trying to convince them about what you do. And we're on the mining side, so we're doing transaction processing. Mining is the thing that secures Bitcoin.
Right.
And so the reason why Bitcoin is so amazing and awesome is because there's this proof of work that you have to verify. And so... convincing an investor just on Bitcoin and then having to convince them that the back-end system is so important is just even harder. So I've really tried to avoid a lot of those, and I feel like luckily for us is that since 2013, since the rise of the price and everything, it's been a lot easier to talk to an investor and explain, to convince them. But
mm-hmm.
Brian Armstrong from Coinbase, from the stories I hear, he had a lot of trouble trying to raise money in 2012 and stuff. And so it's, I think it's a different playing field now. But
right.
Definitely I try not to waste my time with people who are not... You have
so
to
they need to get it first.
Yeah.
And, right. And then we can talk the business.
Right.
Okay.
In 2011, I got approached when Bitcoin was $8 and stuff, and I wasn't convinced, and I shrugged it off, and I didn't care. But it took 2 years before,
yeah.
I was like, whoa. there's something here. I gotta look into this more. And so I think it takes some time to really get convinced about Bitcoin. It's not something that's just like, Bitcoin, there it is. Like, here we go. Like, this is the next big thing. And it's not like that. And so.
With Kizik hands-free shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy-on, easy-off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Are people focused on the value of Bitcoin? Like, if you have a Bitcoin business and Bitcoin goes up to $10,000 a coin,
yeah,
is that something that like investors are are looking as an advantage? Or are they interested literally for the business of your business,
mm-hmm.
Aside from what currency that you're operating in?
Right. So what I've seen is that there's investors who, and this is where you again see the investors who are, they say they're committed to Bitcoin and they see the future of it. And then there's the ones that are just like, you know, they're gung-ho. And number of transactions is super important. But right now it's not as high as it could be. The price is just super volatile and it's just like going up and down constantly. So you can't, it's really hard to measure where it's going to be in 3 years. It's hard to measure where it's going to be in a month.
Yeah.
And so,
does that affect the value of your company?
That's a good question. Mm-hmm. I think it might affect the value to the face value to some people.
Okay.
But again, those investors that are, they understand that this is the next thing. And yeah, like the investors who understand that this is the next thing, they know that this is going to happen. Like the internet, when the internet was first being made, there was tons of vulnerabilities. There was people were not convinced of the internet. They were not like, they were like, what is this? Why would I use this? Why would I, like, I can use a telephone? Like, what? Like, you know. And so there's a lot of there's going to be a lot of those skeptics and like, why would I use this? Who would use this? And, you know, so all these reasons and stuff. So I feel like if you just believe that this is why I got so interested in like the infrastructure of Bitcoin and how, because that's the only reason Bitcoin is going to continue to scale and become, because you can't advance merchant adoption, you can't advance consumer adoption and all these things without having easy to use, understandable tools. Like when the internet was that easy, where all I had to do was sign up for AOL and then it just hit a cool dial up and then all I have to do is just hit, you got mail, or like I can pick the games and stuff. When it's just that dead simple, that's when I think Bitcoin is going to really, really take off. But at the same time, I mean, the U.S. is so lucky. We have such a good infrastructure for our payments, banking, all these different things that we take for granted, that there's a bunch of other countries that they don't have this kind of tech.
Right.
And so they're going to skip this whole, like, this whole tech change, and they're just going to, it's just going to adapt a lot better, and I think.
Okay. Faster adoption
in other countries specifically. And, I mean, Africa, like, we're looking in, like, Argentina's, you know, economy is like going up and down constantly. So
that's
so it's like, how do you prevent that? I mean, when the government shutdown happened last year, like China kind of freaked out a bit because it was like they're the ones who hold the most USD and are like, fiat currency is not based on gold anymore. It's based on your government. So if you're not so they were freaking out, and so that's, I mean, part of the reason why the price drove up, but it was just like, why not invest in something that does not rely on the government? And so, I mean, it's very interesting because I feel like there's all these different things that have to be built out and have to be supported and stuff in order for Bitcoin to even flourish
as
the internet
currency,
right?
It's going to take some time.
Mm-hmm.
So are you guys concerned at all about regulations? Specifically government regulations here, overseas,
totally.
Is that a big worry of yours?
For some of the other Bitcoin companies, it might be. Definitely, I am concerned about it, and I'm keeping up with it so mm-hmm. I know what's going on. But at the same time, it's regulation is good in a way.
Okay.
So there's bad things about regulation, I think, and then there's good things. The good things, I think, is you have a standard. There's a standard thing that everybody has to abide by, and it makes sure that everybody who invests, everybody who's involved, is a lot safer.
Okay.
You don't have a Mt. Gox situation where everybody loses their money because they don't know how to properly secure their money. Like,
yeah.
I mean, my co-founder, he's a white hat, an ethical hacker, so he... I mean, he went through Mt. Gox's code during when that whole spiel happened, and I mean, they were having rounding errors and stuff in there. And
really?
Yeah, it's like little
okay.
things like that is super critical, especially when you're messing with
it's
money.
Currency, yeah.
Yeah, you
yeah.
can't do that. And so regulation is super important because of it makes sure that everybody abides by these rules. But
yeah.
at the same time, I feel like Bitcoin companies have an opportunity right now. Why not, instead of trying to allow others to regulate us, why not just try to hold ourselves accountable and try to secure everything and do everything the best way possible?
Yeah.
So then we don't have these situations, but now you as a company are now a leader. You are now setting a standard,
mm-hmm.
and so there's no reason now that an organization of some kind has to set that standard for you. It's like you're setting the standard for everybody else who joins in. So regulation is interesting, but also the other thing with mining, mining is just such a new concept to people that
okay.
They don't even know what to do with mining yet. They barely understand Bitcoin, so it's like when it comes down to the mining side, like
yeah.
how do you even regulate that? And it's like, so I mean, that's really interesting, and I want to be a big player in the mining sector, so I can actually I want to be involved in that because if there is a regulation that's going to happen, I want to make sure that you know there's the best intentions are being put in. It's not just this mumbo jumbo that you know of what they think is better for the ecosystem. It's like, you don't know the ecosystem,
right.
like you're not in it.
yeah.
So, but definitely, I think because Bitcoin is more open source and transparent because of it's not a company that's behind it.
Yeah.
It gives the opportunity to the people to really, if you really do want this to be not regulated and to be decentralized and to be valuable for everyone, then we need to take ownership ourselves and not rely on our government or rely on organizations to make these rules for us. Because if we do, then that's when more people
yeah.
start making money off of us, and
we'll end up with what we have today.
Yeah,
yes, there's no, no, that makes a lot of sense. I'd love to learn a little bit about your operation. It's you, your co-founder, and now you just brought on a designer,
mm-hmm.
right? What do you pay it? What's your currency?
So right now we are we're raising money for more with cash.
Okay.
But it definitely we do know a couple Bitcoin investors that you know did make some good money during the whole Bitcoin like boom and stuff. So
yeah.
they have a lot. So we have some Bitcoin and we're more using it as a tool to empower our employees as well as like so for example our designer she basically didn't really understand Bitcoin in the beginning. She's been hearing me like for the last year talk about Bitcoin and she thinking I'm crazy and stuff but yeah, I mean in a way it's kind of good that she's completely on this, but like I sent her $1 like the first time and I was just like, you see how easy that was? You have $1 of Bitcoin now.
Huh.
And like she was like actually like, huh, this is really cool, like this is interesting. And so she actually like requested from me that she wanted to be paid like some of her salary in Bitcoin. And this is not uncommon to other startups that I've met, that there are employees who are just like, I want some Bitcoin. And
okay.
So we're trying to have like a little tiny fund of Bitcoin, but as well as like, if we buy low and then the price goes up, the company does well as well, because now we have more of it. And so we're trying to keep, you know, for us, we're not a merchant or anything, and
right.
so we're more into keeping it and being able to utilize it for different things, paying our employees. Potentially, so just an example, something that I think a lot of companies should start doing is, like, I was going to contract a German artist to work with us and stuff for, like, and like animated video and all that stuff. Like, but I mean, if I was going to send him money right now, it's probably going to cost me way more to send it to him, and it's going to take even longer to get.
Yeah.
So I asked him, I was like, hey, are you opposed to me just paying you in Bitcoin? And he's like, no, actually, I would actually want that. It took a little convincing of him, like, just to even be into Bitcoin. But when I asked him if I could pay him in Bitcoin, he's like, yeah, I'll take it.
Okay.
And so
okay.
I don't know if he was going to keep it or not, or if he's going to convert it. But just him, the fact willing to accept it, it was more than enough where it's just kind of like, I can send this guy money and not have to pay extra. He gets it immediately, can start working, and now this thing is flourishing. So it's so I feel like there's a lot of benefits that you can start contracting more outside employees. You can start, so there's a lot of things I think we can do with Bitcoin, and that's why we're kind of holding
kind of have some, and you're paying the salaries in USD,
mm-hmm.
kind of bonuses or extras in Bitcoin right now.
Yeah.
What happens if you raise money in Bitcoin? Do you pay tax on it? Like, how does it get reported?
Dude, I don't know. That is something I'm still trying to get. Like, that's the only reason I've been really hesitant about taking money from Bitcoin investors, because, I mean, if I take money from them and, you know, since it's on capital gains tax and stuff, then if it goes up to $1,000, if it goes to $10,000, then, like, now I have to, like, my employees have to pay that, like, I have to pay it, like, it's this crazy thing where, so, it's interesting, like, we're still trying to kind of figure it out, like, how everything's going to work. We're keeping track of everything.
Yeah.
So, but we haven't gotten to it, like, tax season again, where we're just kind of like, okay, how do we do this? So,
how do we stay clean, right?
Yeah.
It's a business now. Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. So, what's one company in Boost that you are really excited about that you want more people to know about? Or not even in Boost, maybe just in Bitcoin.
This is for Boost, but it's because this guy has been, like, he's been amazing help for me, but he's also been just incredible. Like, Zapchain, it's called Zapchain.
Okay.
Zapchain.com. But he, Matt, he basically built this website, got into Boost, kind of pivoted right when he got into Boost, built this whole website himself, and then has, like, almost 2,000 Bitcoin founders on there. He has Bitcoin investors,
wow.
And it's just, like, it's kind of like a Quora mixed with, like, a LinkedIn kind of mixed with a Reddit. And the reason why this is kind of really valuable, I think, is it's interesting because he's in Bitcoin, but he's not doing anything specifically with Bitcoin, but he is helping the ecosystem in whole. But right now, the only places to really get information about Bitcoin and keep updated and stuff is our Bitcoin on Reddit or Bitcoin Talk, and there's not very many other places that you can go to. And the problem with these places is that they're anonymous. They're also, they're not really, like, friendly to a lot of people. So older people who don't really go on Reddit and stuff, they're not, it's hard to get
the first Reddit experience that you
want. Right. And people get trolled all the time on Reddit, and you might be asking just a genuine question, and then just people are just wrecking you, and it makes you discouraged. Why do you want to come back here?
Yeah.
Like, and so what he did is he's holding everybody accountable, where he's just like, you have to sign in with your Facebook, you have to validate that you are who you are, and then if you answer a question that somebody has and other people in the community believe that your answer is the best one, they'll upvote it. And every time you get the upvote, you get, like, a little bit of influence. And you get this influence score built up where now you're actually a credible person because you've answered people's questions, you've done things, people are following you and stuff, people are obviously believe that you are somebody that they should be listening to.
Okay.
And so it validates this whole thing where now it takes away kind of a little bit of the anonymous kind of stuff, but now it allows people to just, and also, like, in the last couple of years, as Bitcoin keeps growing, more and more people keep asking the same exact questions. So this prevents it from actually having to ask the same questions, and it allows everybody to just kind of search through it and just be able to ask a question and just kind of be able to find the answer and be able to see multiple people's answers.
Okay.
So you're now not just seeing one person with a really good answer, you're seeing a bunch of people with their answers. And I feel like if for a new person who's getting into Bitcoin, it's a real good way to learn and just get really familiar and then eventually just start becoming someone valuable in that
to be able to participate. Yeah,
right.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So where can we keep up with you and HashRabbit online?
So HashRabbit.co, our Twitter handle, I'm still working on it, but it's GetHashRabbit. So if you want to follow me or follow the company or whatever, we post a bunch of things about mining and other stuff. But yeah,
awesome.
And then if you just want to contact me directly, chris@hashrabbit.co. So.
Awesome. Yeah. Cool. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Rocket Ship Podcast. If you enjoyed it, we have tons of other awesome episodes on our website. Check them out, rocketship.fm.
And while you're there, make sure you sign up for our newsletter, where twice monthly we send out actionable advice for entrepreneurs and exclusive links to AMAs with our guests. That's rocketship.fm. Sign up today.
I don't remember. Dressed up alligator. How the hell we get here? Things I don't remember. There was dressed up alligator. There was come on the piano. Disco dancing neighbors who were born in mashed potatoes. Caught with our pants down. Hiding in the doghouse, figured out what we're good for. You're the sailor and I'm the poor. Things I don't remember. We undressed for the tailor. Your skin was lightly salted. Opened up a can of loudmouth malted. High fives in your eyes. Push the gas and now I'm kissing your thighs. Looking for a purpose. How the hell we get here? There were things I don't remember. There was messed up alligator. There were endless conversations. No one's mouths were really moving. All them dumpsters overflowing. All my methamphetamine.
Things I don't remember, 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 things I don't remember,